We're going to go ahead and get started. Couple things. Number one is I forgot to announce earlier that today is the men's meeting after church today. And so it is going to be hosted at Pat and Sue Finley's house in Muzzy Lake. And not in Muzzy Lake, that would be really cold right now, right about now, but at Muzzy Lake, I should say. And so we're inviting all men, and that even if you're a young man, if you're in high school or middle school, we'd love to have you come and join with us. I think there's a lot that we can learn from you, and hopefully there's something that you can learn from us too. And so we'd invite you all to join us, regardless of your age. If you're a man, come and join us. Also, real quickly, please do not park in the grass at Pat and Sue's. I know in the past we have parked in the grass. Don't do that because it's wet, and you probably won't get out if you do that. So, but either you can park at his house or on either neighbor's, on either side of his, has given us permission to park in their driveways as well. Okay? All right. There we go. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. As you're turning there, I just want to say, you know, I told the school counselors a few years ago that if they ever had a need, we would never turn them down. And, you know, 70 kids is quite a bit, but the Lord has always met our needs, and that's not a problem. We will meet them. And we'll meet that number. And so, you know, I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see how the Lord's going to work in the situation and see how we can meet the needs of those kids for Christmas time. All right. We've been working on a series of sermons the last few weeks called Together. And it has been a series of sermon about unity, about how together we can change the world. But that requires you and I to be in a place of togetherness. It requires us to be in unity. It requires us to work alongside. And it's not just us in this room, by the way. It's also us as in the church. When I talk about church, oftentimes you'll hear me say the Big C Church. That is all the churches around us and outside of our church here. And then sometimes I'll say the Small C Church, which is us here at Passion Community Church, individual church. I've come to understand that much of unity is not actually in doing what's in the Bible. And what I mean by that is that, well, of course, everything's in the Bible. But what I mean by that is that much of unity and being in unity with churches is not really anything about doing, going and sharing scripture or reading the Bible with other people or praying with other churches. That happens, and that's how you build unity, yes. But the biggest hindrance to unity is us. And when I say us, I mean people. People in general. Oftentimes you'll hear churches and you'll hear members of churches and congregations talking about theology, meaning the study of the Bible, the study of things and our beliefs. And you'll hear people talking about the worship music and whether you liked it. By the way, wonderful worship today. We're blessed with a wonderful worship team. And I'm, you know, a lot of times you'll hear people say, oh, I was going to say we don't have drums, but guess what? We're going to have drums soon. So that's really cool. But, you know, we don't do electric guitars. We don't do this. We don't do that. We have people that have different feelings when it comes to that spectrum. All of those things are things that you can work through and often do. But what happens more often, what causes divisions in unity is the wall that's built up because someone gets their backside hurt. And what I mean by that is that when someone hears someone say something or someone says something about someone else and you have this division that begins happening, you can see the separation happens in people. It begins to happen. Oh, that person does it this way or that person does this and I don't like the way they say this and I don't like the way they say that. And before you know it, we're having a difficult time of being together, not because of theology, not because of worship, not because of what version of Bible is right or wrong. I tease him all the time about that, or he teases me. But it's a good discussion, honestly. It really is a good discussion. But we don't argue about those things. What ends up happening, that, and this happens not only in churches, this happens in friendships, this happens as it happens in marriages. Oftentimes what we find in marriages is that you don't fight about the actual reason why you're arguing with each other. You fight because each one said something else after that. And so the original reason that you started the argument is not even anything that you're worried about. It's something else that happened from that. In churches and in relationships and in friendships, that happens the same way. You know, it's hard to believe, but just in a few days, we'll be into the month of December. And just this Thursday, we all know that it's Thanksgiving. Hello, if you didn't know, welcome. It's Thanksgiving this Thursday, just to let you all know. Generally, it's a time when family members get together and you have dinner together and you spend time. Not always are those family times together wonderful. Sometimes they're very difficult because you have different family members from different beliefs and different ideas and different ways of life, and they come together and you cram them together in a house and you find unity is sometimes very hard to come along. And so we have to understand that all of these things that we're going to be talking about today is impacting us from being together in many different ways. It's relationships in marriages. It's relationships in friendships. It's relationships that happen in churches. It's the reason why a lot of churches don't get along with each other. It's the reason why many people inside the church don't get along with each other. And it all has to do with us. Has nothing to do with God or our theology. More often, it's because we have not handled a situation correctly. The Bible has much to say about handling conflicts amongst each other. It's almost like he knew that this was going to happen. Things that make you go, right? If you read Scripture, you'll find that over and over and over again in Scripture, there's many ways that Jesus himself taught on how to handle conflicts, how to handle differences between people, how to handle these things. But there's one thing that he always says, is that you must handle the conflict. It's not forgetting it. It's not allowing it to separate. You're supposed to handle the conflict. You're supposed to go to your brother and sister, is what Scripture says. If you have an offense with your brother and sister, it says, do not even give your offering. Go to your brother and sister first. Handle the differences that you have, and then come and give your offering. Jesus is very clear about these things, and we must understand that if we were going to, if we're going to have unity, if we're going to be together, if we're going to do this one, we have to learn how to handle the conflicts between each other. We have to learn how to not get our backsides hurt. And again, if I wasn't preaching, I'd be saying something way different right now when it comes to that. But the truth of the matter is we have to learn how to deal with these things and learn that these things are so small in reality to the eternity and everything else. The issues that we face amongst each other, whether it's in this room or outside of this room. And listen, before you take this, I'm not speaking to any, I have nothing in my mind. There's no one here that I know of any problems that are going on between each other. This is in general for all of us. Jesus tells us that we must take care of these issues. And he talks to us about how important it is in being in unity with our brothers and sisters. Our brothers and sisters in church, our brothers and sisters in family, our brothers and sisters in the community. We must learn to do that. Today, let's learn how to deal with these conflicts so that we can be unified in our message and our walk with Christ. I put as a closing before I say, let's pray. Buckle up, my friends. So let's do this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you. Lord Jesus, you are such an amazing and awesome God. And you love us so much and you call us to work together as the body of Christ. Father, sometimes that's so hard to do. Sometimes that's almost difficult for us to do. Almost seemingly impossible to do. And as I said last week, Father, it is impossible without you. And so Lord, we pray today that you give us the wisdom and the understanding. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you come and invade our thoughts and our minds and give us wisdom as we open up and read these scriptures that we'll be reading today. Help us to deal with these. Help us to understand what it means to handle conflict amongst our brothers and sisters so that we can be the true followers of Christ that you call us to be. Lord Jesus, you are not a God who causes division. You are a God who comes in unity and in love. And may we be followers who do the same. Grace us with your presence and help us as we dive into this topic today. Father, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, and that you would help us on this path that we're on to become more together, more unified in the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Paul is speaking here, and he's speaking to the people of, he's speaking to the Colossians. That's the easiest way to say it, because he's from Colossae is the name of the city they're from. But he's speaking to the people of the Colossian people, if you will. He says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. The ESV uses the word must, and may I encourage you to understand this wasn't an option. Paul is speaking to the Colossians, and he's not giving them an option. He's saying, you must forgive them. Jesus also says something very similar. And Paul is just repeating what he has learned from Jesus. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I would add, amen. Paul is such an amazing writer. I love Paul's writings and how he gets to the core of things. But we have to understand a few things. We have to dissect this. We can't just read this and then move on. A lot of times when we read scripture, it's easy to just read something and move on without having any thought to it. But what we must understand is that we must read the scripture, dissect it, and then understand what the Lord is saying to us. So let's start here. First of all, in the very beginning, he says in Colossians 3:12, he says, put then on as God's chosen ones. What does it mean to be chosen? I'm not talking about the show, which is a wonderful show, by the way. But I'm not talking about the chosen. The New King James Version, just for my friend here in the front seat here, uses the word elect, which I like. I actually like elect. I like the word here, elect. But chosen, elect, however you feel, is important. You must understand that what Paul is saying is that, listen, this isn't to non-believers. He's not speaking to non-believers here. He's speaking to people who have been chosen, meaning they are following Jesus. They are followers of Jesus Christ. He's speaking to the church. Right. And so when we understand this, when we understand what it means to be chosen, it means that everything that followed, everything that Paul was talking about, wasn't for the person that did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It was for those that had been living with the others in Colossae. Thank you. He's speaking to those that were congregating together. Now, again, I have said before, a few weeks ago, I said that the church in the New Testament is different than the church that we have today. Today, we find so many different ways to have divisions in churches. We have different denominations. We have different sects of denominations. Sects as in S-E-C-T-S, in case I didn't say it correctly. Your phone's in here, whoever's looking for it. But we have to understand that there are so many ways that today we divide the church. Back then, it was the church of the city. It wasn't the Baptist. It wasn't the community church, the non-denominational, the charismatic, the Pentecostal, the Catholic church. It wasn't that. Back then, it was one church, one city. And that's, you all met together. You didn't have a choice of whether I didn't like the carpet color, I didn't like the worship, I didn't like the bearded worship, the bald-headed bearded worship guy who played guitar. I didn't like the pastor who didn't wear a suit and tie, you know. You didn't have that. You went to one church, and you liked it. Oh, I didn't even mean it that way, but that was funny. Paul is admonishing us to be patient with each other, to be kind and loving, and to be humble with each other. The simple truth is too often we are not any of these with each other, let alone our brothers and sisters from other churches. Too often, I see it. Listen, as a pastor, I 20 years, I've been pastoring churches, or a church, this church, for 20 years. And for 20 years, I can sit back and I can see certain brothers and sisters not getting along with each other because of one reason or another. I watch it happen. And I sit back and I'm like, these are two amazing people on each side of the spectrum. If they would just get together, bury their differences, this would be a beautiful thing. But instead of focusing on what we have together and the similarities we have, we focus on the things that separate us. We focus on the differences, and we cause division on our own self. Paul says, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. He's beginning to tell us how to walk in this steps. But when in reality, what he's telling us to do is what? Be like Christ. Jesus was all those things I just talked about. Jesus was compassionate. He was humble. He was loving. He was all of those things. Yes, he would tell you and he would read, he could read your mail. But you would walk away going, man, I love you. This is the greatest person I ever met in my whole entire life. Yet he just, it amazes, I'm constantly amazed. Because every time I read a story, Jesus gets to the core of someone's issue. And he doesn't shy away from it. But when they leave, they feel loved. How wrong are we that we don't do the same thing that Jesus does? It's okay to begin. Listen, it's okay to be at the core of the issue. It's okay to get down to what you need to change. It's okay that if you're sinning, that someone comes and says, listen, brother, you're sinning. We need to talk about this. Let's do this in love. It's okay to do these things. In fact, it's our job as fellow believers to help each other to do that. But we have to make sure that we do it, and there's always a but. We have to make sure we do this in love. He says in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, so as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Kind of gave this away when we first read this in the beginning, but Paul doesn't give it as an option. Forgiveness is not an option to you and I. Do you understand that? Jesus gave you forgiveness because he loved you, regardless of the actions that you did. But you know what else? He calls us to forgive. And forgiveness that we give to others is not an option. It doesn't mean that we have to like what that person is doing. It doesn't mean that we support that wrongdoing that that person has done, but we must give forgiveness to that person. And by forgiving that person, we open our hearts to continue to be forgiven by Jesus, but we also hopefully begin to open the hearts of that person that we are forgiving to see Christ in ways that they've never seen him before. I use this phrase often in my, I'm going to give it away. Aiden and Lucas, I'm giving it away because you guys are going to hear this in a year, but you'll hear this. One of the things that I tell, both in premarital counseling, but also in the middle of the ceremony, I tell people in all wedding ceremonies, that the most important thing that you can learn to do is learn to love to forgive each other. Learn to love to forgive each other. It's not just forgiving, but learn to love to forgive each other. Love it. And when I mean love it, I mean embrace it. Take it on. And don't separate that. It is an act of love when you forgive your spouse for something they did for you. And we must learn to grasp a hold of that act of love. But it doesn't just happen in marriages. Do you understand that? We as Christians should love to forgive because that's what our Savior did to us. He forgave us of our wrongdoings. And if we're called to be like Him, then we should call, and He loved to forgive, we should also then love to forgive, should we not? Paul tells us to bear with each other and forgive each other. The simple truth is unity without forgiveness is impossible. Unity without forgiveness is completely 100% impossible. It won't happen. Because why? Because we are human. Right? We're oil and water to each other. We don't like the way you smell. We don't like the way you do this. We don't like, there's always a reason not to like somebody. There always is. No, Brittany, you don't smell. You're okay. But there's always a reason not to like someone. It takes less brain cells to find a reason to not like someone than it takes brain cells to learn to love someone. It does. You know that? It's a true scientific fact. I looked it up. I'm not a doctor, and I didn't sleep at Holiday Inn Express. Many of you, all of you guys over there, Diane, they're looking at me like, oh, no, I have no clue what he's talking about, right? That's okay. It was a commercial many years ago. The truth of the matter is that if we learn to love to forgive, if we love to forgive people, if we love to forgive the people that we're in, we are imitating, is probably a better word, Jesus. Jesus didn't just come here and say, listen, I'll forgive you for this, but I'm not going to forgive you for this, this, and this. When Jesus died on the cross, what he forgave us of is everything. There's not one thing that you have done that he cannot forgive you of. There's not one thing that you will do that he cannot forgive you of. He forgives you of everything. And Jesus calls us, as the angels sing in the background, to forgive in the same way. I once asked, can I be in unity and not forgive someone? I was asked that. I had someone come up to me and say, listen, I know unity is such an important part to you, and I know, but I just can't forgive my brother for what he did. How am I supposed to go to church? How am I supposed to do events with him? How am I supposed to do all of these things? And I looked at this person, I said with a resounding no, unity is not possible without forgiveness. And then I looked at him and I said, can you truly love Christ without everything being forgiven? The answer is no. We cannot truly. We must understand that Christ forgives us of every single thing. We can't fully have our life with Christ unless we are fully forgiven of everything. And he does not hold anything back. Paul says that forgiveness is necessary even if you have a complaint. Everyone has complaints. I have another saying that I'll have to keep to myself because it's not church appropriate, but let's just say complaints are like a body part, and everyone has that body part. Let me just put it that way. And so, I know, Ben, I'm starting to sound like my father. I get it. I understand that, Ben. Only took me 52 years to figure that out, but that's okay. The truth of the matter is that complaints are what lead us to unforgiveness. When you complain about something, when you complain about a person, you don't like the way they look, you don't like the way they talk, you don't like this, you don't like that, whatever it is, what happens is that begins to build up inside of you. And that complaining, that attitude about what you don't like about that person then becomes deeper, and it becomes a dislike greater than a complaint. And then as it goes down that path, as it snowballs down that path, it's like an avalanche. You know, it starts going down that hill. That snowball is really small, but as it rolls down the hill, you ever seen those cartoons? It gets really big, right? That's exactly what a complaint happens. So how about instead of complaining about someone, we bless them? Instead of saying, I don't like the way that person does this, why don't you say, Lord, bless that person? And I'm not talking about the Southern bless their heart type of thing, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a true blessing. And I'm not talking about I've been around a lot of Christian people who use blessings as a way of complaining about someone. Lord, I just don't like the way they look. I wish that you would just bless them with beautiful hair, right? Amen, Ted. Me too, right? Me too. Bring it on, Lord. No. I don't know that I'm never mind. We must understand that blessing someone is greater than complaining against someone. And that's what we're called to do. Find the blessing to give to that person instead of finding the complaints. It's easy to find the complaints. I was speaking with a young man one time in a youth group setting, and he came up to me and said, Pat, he had the voice of a trucker. Let me just say this, okay? And so he used the trucker language, right? And he came up to me, and I looked at him. I said, you're much smarter than that. You can use different language than what you just used to describe that situation. All you have to do is think about it a little bit and use it. The same goes with this area. We have the opportunity to bless people. Satan wants to get into your mind, give you a complaint that starts to go from a complaint to a dislike to a division. Do you understand that? Those are the steps. He wants to give a dislike, that little attitude that comes up and says, I don't like this, and so because I don't like this, I'm going to begin to think about this, and then I begin to separate myself, I begin to build that wall, and before I know it, I have a division, a wall that I cannot get through. And if we would just tear down that wall and say, listen, I want to bless you. May I pray with you? I might disagree. Listen, I'm not saying we can't disagree with people because disagreements happen all the time. They're part of human nature. Jesus disagreed with the Jewish rabbis, did he not? But yet he still loved them and still prayed for them. He disliked and disagreed with the Roman soldiers who hung him on the cross. Yet while he was still being hung on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's always a way out. There's always a blessing instead of a complaint if we just find it. If we just look for it. But it causes action. It causes us to have a different attitude. Verse 14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are thankful, you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do, do in the word and deed, do in all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Is biblical unity possible? Yes, it is. Paul tells us exactly the steps that we're supposed to have biblical unity. Do you understand that? This Colossians 3 is all about the unity of the body of believers. And he tells the church in Colossae how to do this. He's telling the church, this is exactly what you must do to be in unity. This is what you have to overcome. This is the attitude that you have to have. So for us to do that, we have to look at this and we have to say, number one, we have to love like Jesus. As I already said, learning to love to forgive. Loving like Jesus is learning to love that person for who they are and not for what they do. See, this is the most important thing. We must learn to love people for who they are and not what they do. Today's culture will tell you to love someone because of what they do. That's not what God does. And thank God. Because if he loved us for what we did, we're all in trouble, let me tell you. I don't care how good of a saint you are, you're in trouble. The truth of the matter is that God calls us to love like Jesus, and he loved the people for who they were, not for what they did. So when someone does something you don't like, guess what? You can not like what they did, but still love that person. I know it's hard, and I know it doesn't seem right, but guess what? It's possible to do that. Someone who gets on your nerves, someone who is on that last nerve that's right here and it's right there. You can still love them. You can still say, you know what? I don't like what you're doing. I disagree with what you're doing, but I love you. Love your heart. Find something, again, find something to bless them with. Loving like Jesus is learning to love the person for who they are, not what they do. We must learn that God's love is not based on our actions. It's based on how good He is. Our forgiveness, our salvation, all those things is not based on anything that we do. Because if it is, we're all in trouble. It's based on what He has done, not what we do. And it makes it possible for anyone in this room and anyone in this world to receive the salvation of Christ, because it's not based on our actions. It's based on His. But we are called to learn to love like Jesus. And that means we are called to love in the same way. He goes on to say, the second part of this, Paul says that, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. We are often offended or hurt because of words or actions of others. We feel sometimes even rightly so. I mean, sometimes we are hurt, rightly so, because of what someone did. But at that point, when someone does something to you, you have a choice. Are you going to become offended, or are you going to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts? John Bevere wrote a wonderful book many years ago. We've done it as a Bible study several times. It's called The Bait of Satan. One of the greatest baits that Satan uses today is offense. Being offended at something that someone else did. It is a snare. It's a snare. It's a trap of the devil. He wants to trap you in that offense. Because if you're offended because that person said this or looked at you or did that, or, and you know what? Let me even go one step further. Most of the offenses that happen is not what really someone did. It's all in our mind. It's our attitude. Oh, Belinda looked at me in a certain way. She must be really mad at me. I can't believe she's mad at me. Your husband and son are shaking their head. Yes. The truth is, when we allow someone to hurt us or change our attitude, we are placing them above God. Do you know that? When you allow someone to offend you, when you allow yourself to be hurt by someone else, what you're truly saying is that you trust, or you put more energy, effort, you put more credit into that person than you do God. Why? Because God says that no matter what, we should be in unity, we should love, and we should have the peace of Christ inside of us. That's what He says. And so when we choose to allow that offense to boil up inside of us, we are making a choice of allowing that offense to be more important than the love of Christ inside of us. That's right. Now, I know all that's not fun, and no one likes to hear that. Because listen, it's easy to get offended. Someone cut you off in traffic today, let's get offended. Someone jumped in front of you and did this or did that, I'm going to get offended. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to show them they're number one. Not with the right finger either, let me tell you. It's easy to become offended today, but it's much harder to let the peace of Christ rule inside of your heart. When we have the perfect peace of Christ at rule in our hearts, we will not become offended or hurt. Do you understand that? When you let the peace of Christ rule inside of your heart, it's so hard to become offended. When you let the peace of Christ be inside of you, it's so hard to do that, to be offended. We must learn to let the peace of Christ rule inside of our hearts. He goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you. The word of Christ was meant to edify, uplift, and to encourage each other. This is why I've said this before, I'll say this again. Jesus said and always would be able to go to someone and He would be able to speak to their heart, He'd be able to speak to their sin, but they would be edified, encouraged, built up, and lifted up. That is what the Word of God is supposed to do in us. Yes, it directs us to our sin. Yes, it shows us where we're failing. But the edifying and encouraging part about that is that when we come to the place where we're dealing with our sin, we can look up and see the Savior who's grabbing our hand and pulling us out of the muck. Jesus never intended His Word to tear someone down. You understand that? Never. The word of Christ was never meant to tear someone down. If you're using the word of Christ to tear someone down, you're using it wrongly. Wrongly. Whatever, it works. I'm just a hillbilly from Southeast. That's okay. The truth of the matter is that when we use the word of Christ to tear people down, we are doing exactly opposite than what it was intended to do. Some could say that is the Antichrist way of using the word of Jesus. The word of God was meant to build up, lift up. Paul tells us to admonish each other with psalms, hymns, and songs. Now, let me just say, if you can't sing and you can't hold a tune in a bucket, you may want to skip that part, all right? No, I'm kidding. Someone might get offended because, man, did you hear him sing? I don't want to hear that. No, I'm kidding. Paul tells us what, but when he does use this psalms, hymns, and songs, what is he talking about? He's talking about speaking scripture over that person, speaking love. That's what the psalms are. That's what hymns are. Hymns are giving love to God. It's showing the love that you have. That's what Paul's telling us. Paul's telling us that when we have the word of Christ dwell inside of us, guess what? The word of Christ will come out of us as well. When the word of Christ and the peace of Christ is dwelling inside of us, it comes out of us as we interact with others. He also goes on to say, do everything in the name of Jesus. Have you ever tried to dislike someone when Christ is your purpose, plan, and guidance? Have you tried to dislike someone when you're... Listen, in the middle of prayer time, if you have this dislike thought that comes across your head as you're praying for someone, you should probably pray and ask the Lord to forgive you for that thought first. But then second of all, what you need to do is pause and pray a blessing over that person. It's hard... Listen, it's hard if we're doing what Jesus calls us to do to have hate inside your heart. Hate and love are two different things. Christ is love. Hate is the anti-part of that. It is literally, as someone whispered, the exact opposite of each other. Hate and love are the exact opposite of each other, and they don't work together. They don't blend together. They don't mix well. Does it happen? Sure it does. There's always a reason to dislike someone. There's always some. Listen, if you don't dislike me, give me about 5 minutes. I'll give you a reason. I'm human. That's what happens. The truth of the matter is that we must walk in forgiveness. We must walk in love. We must walk in the unity of Jesus, and it overcomes all of those things. Does that mean that we have to love every single person that we see? Yes, it does. That's exactly what I'm saying. Does that mean you have to love every action of that person that you see? No. There's a big difference between loving someone for who they are and loving someone for what they do. Their actions can be wrong, and you can still love them in the body of Christ. In fact, the love of Christ commands us to go and have a conversation with our brothers and sisters who are maybe slipping and doing something they should not do. And if we do that in love, then Christ becomes our purpose, our plan, and our guidance. But if we don't do that in love, then what we're doing is we're abandoning that word of God and we're walking away. Unity is possible in Jesus alone. The only way that unity is truly possible is in Jesus Christ. Because listen, we are all, I've already said once, we are all here sinners. We are all here dealing with things. We're all here not doing what we're supposed to do and having problems. And there's reasons why to dislike us. There's reason why to not get along with us. All of that's going on, and that's true. But when you have Jesus at your core, when you have Jesus in your heart, then you can overlook those things. He makes it possible for us to forgive. He makes it possible for us to love someone, not for who they are or what they're doing, but for who they are. Why? Because they are a child of God. And so are you. Unity is only possible in Jesus alone. I'm going to end with this. I spent a lot of time in the last 4 weeks talking about unity and getting along together, and that's true. That's very true. We need to do that. But that unity doesn't just stop here inside this building. Do you understand that? Listen, if no one has ever told you this before, it's okay to interact with members of different churches. I know, right? Oh my gosh, shocking. It's okay to have friends who go to different churches. They can be wrong and go to the wrong church. That's okay. I get it. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. It's okay to do that. In fact, we're called as the body of Christ to dwell together. Because you know what? The body that's inside this building that we call Passion Community Church can only do so much in the community. We can do a lot of stuff, and we are doing a lot of stuff. We're meeting the needs of a lot of families, and that's wonderful, and it's such a blessing to see this happening. But the truth of the matter is, Chris, that looks great, buddy. Let me tell you, that looks awesome. The truth of the matter, though, is that there's people in our community that we'll never reach, that we're going to need our brothers and sisters down the street to reach, that we're going to need to get along with them, that we're going to need to be a body part with them, in connection with them, to achieve what God wants to achieve in our community. Many, many years ago, when I started Passion Community Church with my wife and a group of 25, 30 other people, I had this goal in mind that there's 10,000 people in Ritzton at that time. I'm sure it's up now from that, but there's 10,000 people. And I thought, Lord, could it be possible for us to reach every single person, 10,000 people in Ritzton, and turn that community upside down? And for many years, I tried that alone. I tried that as a single church. I tried going to everything. Listen, I sat in Cracker Barrel more than you would ever think of. Now it's Dunkin'. It used to be Cracker Barrel. I've come down the level a little bit. But no, I'm kidding. I tried so much. Going to every store in Ritzton, well, there's not too many stores in Ritzton, but going to the stores in Ritzton and trying to share Christ with every single person in the store, doing all of those things. And guess what happened? I got tired. And I got worn out. And I realized that it was impossible for me to do this alone. First of all, alone as in the pastor just going out and doing this. It takes every single one of you in this room. Listen, we have 30 kids that we need to reach. There's no way that I can afford to do 30 kids on my own. I wish I could. But I can't. We need to, as together, be a congregation. But you know what? It's not just us. There's 30 other kids that are going to be met by a different church. There's a church down the road called Community of Believers. That's my old church many, many years ago. Community Bible Church, that's also reaching different kids. These are different kids than what we're reaching at Ritzton. They're reaching different kids. All of us together have a purpose, have a plan, and we all together become what is the body of Christ in our community. Alone, we are a body in this room. Together, we are a body outside in the community. But it takes unity to do this. Holidays give us a chance to be offended, but so does life. I know, Miss Tanya, I know, she's shaking her head. No way, does it? It's the greatest thing ever. I decorated in September. pretty close, right? Chaz, am I close? September, right? Pretty close. Yeah. No, but the truth of the matter is there's so many reasons why we can be offended, either with people inside this building or people in other churches. There's so many easy ways to do that. But we must learn to be the body of Christ. Love like what Paul said. Love to forgive. Be in unity with each other. Will you stand with me, please? And will the worship team come forward? I started this sermon series 4 weeks ago by asking you to look at the people on either side of you. going to ask you to do the same thing. Do you like the person sitting next to you? Now, if you're husband and wife, don't answer that question no, because if you do, you're going to be in trouble. And we'll have a different conversation later, because we'll have to do some marriage counseling. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. I ask you to look at each other on each side, because you know what? God has brought you together for a reason. God has brought your skill set, your abilities, your mind, your love, your feelings, your emotions, all of those things. He brought you together in this place for a plan and a purpose. We can't do it alone. It's impossible for us to do it alone. It takes every single one of us in this building to do what God wants us to do. But that requires us to get along with each other, doesn't it, Christy? Now listen, I can come over here and I can put my arm around her and I can say I love spending time with her, even though she's a Steelers fan, but we got the better of them this week, so that's okay. That's why I can stand here and say this, Christy. No, I'm kidding. No, but the truth of the matter is that we must go beyond our differences. And when we do have a differences, when we do have a difference with someone, when we do have a problem with someone, go to them. Seek them out. Sit down with them and say, listen, we got to have a talk. I love you. But we need to have a conversation. And do it in love. God calls us to be together here on this earth. But guess where else He calls us to be together? Every single person in here that has given their life to Jesus Christ, that has believed that He died on the cross for your sins, and you have welcomed Him into your heart, then you will be in eternity with your brothers and sisters that are in this building. But guess what? You're also going to be with the brothers and sisters in the other churches too. You may be rubbing shoulders with someone who went to a different church than you. And you're going to be called. You won't care. This is the thing. You won't care at that time. But how much better would this world be today, right here, and right now, if we lived in that same mindset here on this earth, in this place? If we would get over our differences and live in unity with each other. Again, that doesn't mean that you accept and you say, oh, you can do whatever you want. Walk all over me, do all the... No, I'm not saying that. But learn to love the person for who they are and work out your differences. Because that's what God calls us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We glorify You. We honor You. We praise You. Lord Jesus, we are such in need of Your love. Father, help us in this place, right here, right now, in this place, to understand what it means to walk in true unity with each other. Whether that's with people inside this building or other churches and other people outside of this building. Whether it's family members that we'll be seeing this week that we may not necessarily get along with or agree with. May we learn to be in unity and love, because that's what You came in, Father. Father, help us. It requires us to have a relationship with You. That's the first requirement of all things, is for us to put You at the center of our hearts. To say, Lord, forgive us of our sins, as Romans 10 verse 9 says, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that He died on the cross for you and I, that we can have everlasting, eternal life. It starts with that understanding that Jesus has forgiven us, and we need that forgiveness to come from Him. And then it's walking out every single day. How do I love like Christ? How do I live like Him? Father, help us to do that today. Help us to walk with You, to understand Your love and what it means to be loved by You, so that we can love others in the same way. Lord, forgive us where we have gone wrong. Forgive us where we have held out offenses against each other because of things that were done. Forgive us for not walking in love. And we pray, Father, in this place right now, that You help us to walk in that love that You give with others and for others. Be with us today, Father. Guide us, strengthen us. Convict us where we are wrong, Lord. Show us where we need to seek forgiveness from each other. Show us where we need to give forgiveness to others. And let us be in You always. because you are the one who shares this love and this unity with us. Help us to be your body, Father, to do what you have called us to do. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we sing this worship song, if you'd like to come forward, our prayer team would love to have an opportunity to pray with you. But let's worship together and seek the Lord and ask him to help us to walk in those steps of unity together.
Peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. As you near, still, call the sea still. The word you need is still. Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, the silence clear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. God is born to me. God is love to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Silence clear. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
For me, it's a light that shatters the night. For me, it's a light that overcomes. For me, it's a light forever linked in mind. For me, cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, silence clear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. The silence clear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Your name is a light the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive forever high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. There's nothing that can stand before you. In fact, every knee shall bow before you, Father. And so, Lord, we ask you in this place, as we go forth from here, let us go forth as a body of believers, knit together by the love of Jesus. May we be one together, so that the world around us, as you pray, Jesus, may know the love that you have for them because of the unity of the believers together. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing. Bless our week, Father. Help us to be your hands and feet and to share the good news of the gospel with those around us. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Hope to see you again next week. Have a wonderful week and happy Thanksgiving.